run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Let me do say this, though. I will help him in any possible way that I can. I know these players in this locker room will help him in any possible way that they can, too. And, you know, he's a Minnesota Viking. He's one of our guys. He's, you know, he's going to be wearing the purple with us and fighting with us and sweating with us.
That is Coach Mike Zimmer. He's happy to have a really, really big-time running back in the saddle again. Straight from Houston, Texas, comes Adrian Peterson riding in on his faithful steed. And oh, wait, that's just Adrian.
I thought there was no horse. About me, though, in my little two-day hissy fit that I had via Twitter.
Yeah.
I was holding out for more money.
Well.
And a guaranteed contract.
And you're here,
so didn't really work out.
Oh. You just walked back in, huh?
Well, Coach Zimmer called me, and he had to come to Jesus meeting, and you know, well, how it worked out. I almost called you yesterday as I was driving into town listening to the whole Adrian Peterson deal going, okay, we've been talking about Adrian Peterson now for basically 9 months, wondering what, if, when, how, who, what, when, where, why, and then he comes back when I'm gone.
Yeah.
I take a couple of days off, and everything kind of hits the fan.
Maybe that was it. Maybe you're a...
Maybe he hates me.
A good luck charm for some of the Minnesota fans here. Or maybe you're a bad luck charm for the 50% that think the other way, maybe. Mm-hmm. He's still a pretty damn good running back.
Yeah.
I mean, you may disagree with a lot of different things you've heard over the last year and a half, but that is Adrian Peterson now. That's the real ticket right there. Pretty good player. Can't hurt your team. I wish him well. Look, I hope he can get past it. I hope that he can get himself to a place where he's got balance and he's got this thing under control and the kid thing. And, you know, no one condones that. At least I'm one that didn't condone anything. And I think that I speak for a lot of people here in Minnesota. I don't know how things are down south. Apparently, it's completely different. It's just the way it is. Here, I can't understand it for myself personally. But
sure, but I think, and I was gone, like I said, so I'm just kind of getting back to speed today, and obviously I had Twitter, and I had my phone, and I had iPad, and all this, so I was checking out what was going on, but I didn't get a chance to necessarily hear every word you had said like I do normally every single day, but just from hearing what you said yesterday when you're hanging out with Brian Murphy and Sam Ekstrom, as well as the press conference, he sounded pretty contrite, and he sounded more real than I'd heard him in maybe ever. I mean, he was real, he apologized. He was happy to be back. He said that I'm not the victim. I never thought I was the victim. I apologized to my son immediately right after that happened. I'm happy to be back with the team. It was interesting, though, because obviously the things that we had heard leading up to this whole coming back to Winter Park deal in the last 9 months, wish that some of the people would have asked a little bit harder questions, and maybe they did. Maybe I just missed it. But what about this wanting to be traded, not feeling comfortable coming back to the Minnesota Vikings and all of these things that he said leading up to coming back? Did those ever get answered?
There were a lot of people that were there. Tom Schreier was one of them. Yep. That said, there were a lot of questions after the main stuff was kind of over with, is that they kind of cornered him and had a lot of questions that almost everything came out. Mm-hmm. Financial, emotional, legal, everything. You know, your attitude, what was the trade thought about going to Dallas? Why did you talk with Jerry Jones ahead of time or before last season? Mm-hmm. All that kind of came out, and he answered every one of them. Mm-hmm. Now, what he said, I can't tell you what he said to each and every one of those, but those questions were asked.
Yeah, and they will be, I'm sure, in a story at 105theticket.com, part of our Cold Omaha writing team. It's interesting because the Vikings did that annual playground build today.
Correct.
However, it got rained out because it was just a monsoon during the midday, but Adrian Peterson stayed. I think it was right over by my house in Falcon Heights, signing autographs for the kids.
Well, that's a good move, and he's doing it right, finally. Someone must have gotten through to him. I have to think it's probably Zimmer that said, you know, if you just get here and just deal with things, management anywhere on any team will normally deal with the player if he just puts his best foot forward and comes in and shows up and does the work and doesn't complain or gripe, and they let the agent and whomever take care of whatever they need. He wasn't coming in because of money. I mean, he wasn't coming in because it was contractually not where he wanted it. That's why he blew up on Twitter. That's why he blew up on Twitter. Guess what, though? When you put it to rest, and Zimmer did put it to rest, you can only do one of two things. Play, make a ton of money, or sit out there for the next 3 years and retire, basically. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't doing anybody any good by doing what he was doing, just sitting out there. I mean, you and I talked about this. He could change the whole path of this whole discussion by just showing up at Winter Park.
That's it.
That's all he needed to do.
That's all he needed to do.
Because if you want to talk more money, you want to talk more guaranteed money, you want to talk this, you want to talk that, you want to talk trade, you have to be on good standing with the team and good standing with the coach and the general manager. And to do that, you've been gone for 9 months because you did something wrong, not because of what the Minnesota Vikings did or the fans did.
Yep.
You show good faith. You come back here, which he ended up doing yesterday. I wonder, and we talk about this all the time, what the back channel discussions were with Mike Zimmer or Rick Spielman, but specifically Zimmer, the head coach, because everything as of last week had been smoothed over after Zimmer said he can either play here or he's not going to play for anybody. Then Adrian Peterson went on his Twitter rant, and we heard over the weekend that everything had been smoothed over, and then all of a sudden as of Tuesday, right, it was yesterday. When he got back here in Minneapolis Monday night and showed up at Winter Park yesterday. I mean, it's just been an entirely interesting set of events, and as much as I get on Twitter or we get some phone calls sometimes saying, you know, I'm so sick of this Adrian Peterson deal. I'm so sick of it. This is a different turn of events here. And I'm over talking about the Adrian Peterson, what he did with his child and all that stuff. He's gone through the discipline and the courts, and he sat out. He's now reinstated with the NFL. Now I want to talk about dreaming with this offense. This offense is going to be sick. And I saw something on Twitter. Somebody posted on Twitter today that wasn't anybody that was affiliated necessarily with anybody, but it said you have to keep, and you have to, in quotations, you have to keep a safety deep over the top to cover Mike Wallace, and you, quote, have to keep a safety in the box for Adrian Peterson. Man, this offense is going to be sick.
It could be really good. It could really be good. I mean, if they settle things up front too, get the offensive line in place. That's Adrian Peterson back there again. I mean, that was a big day 2 days ago when he decided to come back in. Then when he showed up, that meant he was conceding to everything and coming back to play. I mean, you know, then at that point, you're getting Adrian Peterson back in shoulder pads, whether he holds up or not, whether he's healthy, let's hope, and he can play all 16 games. That's huge if he can stay on the field. Mm. And then, of course, what you just said is that you can stretch the field with Wallace and still have him back there. And Teddy Bridgewater isn't a bad quarterback. He's not bad.
He's only getting better,
You just throw it. Hey, well, how about Kyle Rudolph in the middle?
Yeah.
Then?
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. There was Mike Wallace who was mic'd at Vikings.com during practice, and watching him go around and watching Teddy Bridgewater take control like he did, like he talked about, that some of the veterans were saying, Ted, let's get in here. I want you to be vocal. I want you to lead the huddle. I want you to break things down. And it's just fun to watch that maturation process. I think it was last week I heard one of the other sports stations say that Kirby Puckett is the best athlete to ever come through Minnesota. Ever play professional athlete to spend time here professionally in Minnesota. And I thought, that guy sounds like the biggest idiot I've ever heard in my life.
Well, he was a great baseball player.
But he's not
doesn't
a great
mean
athlete.
He's the best. He doesn't mean he was the best athlete. He was a great, great, great player. He was one of the most notable and one of the most recognizable figures that have ever played sports here in the Twin Cities, but he was not the best athlete.
Would you say that he's the best player in Minnesota professional sports? Because I wouldn't even say that either.
Kirby withstood the test of pressure and everything else when it meant the most. Two World Series, that's the only championships in this town.
But he didn't do it himself.
No, I mean, but he had...
He wouldn't have had 91 without Jack Morris. Well, wouldn't have had 91 without Ken Herbeck pulling Ron Gant off the first base.
There's also a guy who says, jump on.
Yeah.
You know, I'll lead you to the promised land and take all the pressure off everybody else, put it on me, and let's go. We haven't had many of those around here. And then get it done. And then, I mean, we're talking about rings, championship rings.
Sure.
And
I guess so.
That's another big notch in his belt, though. I mean, the fact that he kind of took charge, and leadership is a big deal. And you can do it the right way or the wrong way. But he said, jump on, let's go do this, we'll have some, and he did it in just the right way. And that's getting people to believe in themselves, and let's go do this, and getting them fired up and to mount a charge, and then actually execute that, and do it, and produce yourself, not just be talking. You don't want the talking, jabbering leader that doesn't do anything out there when he goes out there. He just likes to talk in the locker room. Hey, Kirby, Kirby was real deal, man. He was real deal.
I thought it was a bold statement, especially when
he's not the best athlete, though.
I thought it would be, we've had Randy Moss, Kevin Garnett,
well, if
Mike
you go
Madonna.
If you want to go athlete, Moss. I don't care about Garnett. Garnett was a great athlete. So was Madonna. I'm sure he was.
Adrian Peterson, too. I mean, that's what we spent most of the time at the beginning of the conversation talking about. And Adrian Peterson, when he had absolutely, and this is what's different and most exciting about him coming back to Winter Park and the Vikings, he's never had a quarterback besides Brett Favre.
Yeah.
But he's never had a great quarterback game. And so with Teddy Bridgewater's continued maturation process, Adrian Peterson has been one of those Kirby Puckett guys where he said, get on my back. I'm going to. He single-handedly, in my opinion, in his 2,000-yard season, led the Vikings to the playoffs.
Agreed. He did. That was one of the best. You know what? They had a top 10 list last night on NFL Network, and it was the top 10 rushing seasons of all time. He had the number two. Of all time.
Of course. Rushing, number one, Eric Dickerson, I would imagine.
No, I mean, the best rushing season ever rated by God knows how many people and writers took part in this. But it was OJ's 14-game 2003 season.
That makes sense.
And that was quite a season with no quarterback, Joe Ferguson. They also told us the stats last night on Christian Ponder the year that he had the 2097, whatever it was for Adrian. I think Ponder was averaging 115 yards passing that game, or that season. So, I mean, it was all on him. It was all on him, and they gave him credit for it. But and Eric Dickerson was number three, and he had huge numbers, but he also had a big, fat number, 14 fumbles. 14 fumbles in that season,
that
too.
That same season where he rushed for over 2,100 yards, he had 14 fumbles.
That was the most yards in one season in 16 games. I know Juice would have run past that. The two more games, he would have run right past it. But he played a 14-game season. And but AP, you know, it was 2097, and Ponder was throwing for 115 yards on average.
That's crazy.
Yeah, not good.
One more topic before we move on here, but it's Triple Crown Saturday this weekend. American Pharoah, good possibility. He's, I believe, 3-5 odds to win the Belmont this weekend.
Yeah, that's the longest one of the three, isn't it? The longest race?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a
Triple
long
Crown
race.
Saturday at CHS Field. John Aronson and I will be down there, and we'll be Triple Crown. Is that I'm hoping that's drinking. It's some sort of drinks that we can have, because that's my favorite thing to do.
Is that a little Crown Royal?
Horse race, drink, and then some baseball. But American Pharoah, first time in, I think, 37 years. If he does win it, I think it's even, I mean,
how
obviously it's a possibility, but what happens if he does?
Who needs California Chrome?
Screw him. Or Big Red Testicle
Big Red
Bowl guy.
Testicle Bowl guy.
Who's that guy?
Big Red would have been Secretariat.
Secretariat.
Yeah. Only won by about 30 lengths.
It seems like there's a Triple Crown possibility like every 3 to 4 years, though.
You know, they never really have a bona fide. And they claim, I have no idea what horse racing actually is all about, but they said it was a small, very small field at the Preakness. I think it was only like 8 horses. Hmm. I didn't watch the race. But, I mean, it narrowed things down for him to win the second one, for sure. I don't know how many are in the Belmont, but it was not a big field. And they were like, well, you know, they're kind of giving him this one, the Preakness.
And the Belmont, I think, is the one that's covered in grass, isn't it?
I believe so.
I could be
wrong.
You're
asking
the
wrong guy.
The only horse racing that I really get into is the ones where I can drink and pet the horse's nose. I'm really big into petting the horse's nose. It's so soft down the middle, and then feeding them peppermints.
Yeah.
Otherwise, horse racing, I like the Kentucky Derby because I put on some silly hat and then I drink, what's it called? The drink. The mint julep. Dang, that's so good. You love whiskey and you love mint.
No, I don't love mint.
Why don't you love mint?
I hate effing mint.
Why?
You get that crap out of here.
Why don't you like mint?
Because it's garbage.
I
hate mint, and you're garbage. You're white trash is what you are. But I'll tell you right now, I'll take that whiskey off your hands. I think I won't.
I think you will.
Caller 15 at 651-989-9105 wins a pair of tickets to see the St. Paul Saints. They play the Sioux Falls Canaries. Oh.
It's my hometown.
Wow. This Saturday at the new CHS Field, and it is outstanding down in Lowertown. Join Ben Holson and Saints voice Sean Aronson from 5 to 7 on the plaza before the game. Caller 15 gets the tickets, 651-989-9105. We're going to take a very, not a quick break, but we're going to make a little break. We'll be back, and we'll do the big nasty. We'll hang out, and we'll talk the talk. We're not really sure what it's going to be, though.
No, it's 4.5 questions.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Uh-uh.
What do you mean, uh-uh?
Is it 4.5 questions?
4.5 questions.
It's not 4:30 yet.
It'll... What? It's close enough to 4:30. Just...
I love just dumping on you.
It's my first day back. Would you leave me alone, for God's sake?
You need to rename your bit. Start renaming your bit. We gotta go. Bye.
Hey, this is Max Williams. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
I'm definitely not the victim, and I haven't tried to play the victim in this role.
I don't know about that. Maybe some victim in there from time to time. I think maybe he can say whatever he wants to now. I mean, he's back, and that's good enough for me. And he was contrite. I think he was absolutely sincere with what he was trying to say. He spoke from the heart. He didn't have cue cards or recipe cards or anything else but himself up there at the podium. So good for him.
4.5 questions at 4:30. And so I was gone a couple of days, and Adrian Peterson decides to come back. We just heard from him. He actually realized he didn't have any leverage. So to me, his press conference yesterday, pretty relatable, went a long way in healing those wounds I thought that he created across Viking Nation. A lot of people, my friends that are Minnesota Viking fans, are like, well, he's still going to be on my fantasy team. He's still going to be on my favorite football team. Want him to score touchdowns. I love him as a football player. Doesn't mean that I necessarily love or agree with what he's been doing as a person necessarily. I didn't really get a chance to hear your take while I was out of town, your initial reaction, but has Adrian Peterson fulfilled everything you thought that he needed to do, everything that we had discussed and everything that you said that you really think he should do with his teammates, with fans, and with Viking Nation to be welcome back here? Because I can't wait for this team to hit the field and play for Keeps. This is going to be awesome.
That's what we're trying to get to. And the fact that he came back and he did it during a voluntary session instead of something mandatory, it showed us all that he wanted to be back. Now, there were no other options anyway. It's either you do want to play for $12.75 million or you don't. Of course he was coming back. Look, he said he was sorry. He said, you know, that he was sorry to his teammates and his coaches and to the general public here and the NFL, basically, is what he was apologizing for, his mistake, he called it. Then move on. I believe he's done what he's supposed to do. He probably should have a one-on-one chat with if he can get all the guys in the meeting room and maybe just say something a little more personalized.
But I thought he said yesterday he didn't need to do that. He's already had conversations with guys like Chad Greenway and guys that he remembered that played here when he played here.
Well, I think he should say it. You know, I mean, I think he should probably stand up and
one-on-one or to a
as a team, him and the team in the room.
I think so too.
In the room, yeah. And then that would fulfill for me what I think he ought to do. Regardless, I also believe that everybody deserves a second chance. I would hope that he has learned. He said he has learned, and he wants to become a better man, both on and off the field. Those are all good things to say, and I hope he does follow through with that. Look, let's just play football then. You did your time. You paid the price. It cost him a lot of money. He also got paid a lot of money to sit there too. Let's not forget that. But the fact is. I believe he thinks he did do something wrong, which he was having a tough time saying until he had a lot more therapy. I think that they've convinced him now that it was over the top what he had done, and now I'm willing just to give him a second chance. I too probably will not think of him in the same regard that I did before. I don't think I can ever regain that. I think he's a good human being, but there are some glitches there too, and we all have faults. I mean, I do, and I just want to give him a second chance, and I want him to run the ball and help this team and make us all the finally winners around here.
Yeah, no, it just go back to the fact that this offense is going to be, in my opinion, just ridiculous. It might be the best offense we've had since Brett Favre was in charge here. It might be the best before that, the offense that you were involved in, 1998. Just the best, in my opinion, the most talented offense. I'm not going to say that they're going to be the best show on turf or they're going to break records often, you know, points-wise, but just when you look at it, I mean, wide receivers, Mike Wallace being a deep threat, Kyle Rudolph coming back healthy, Teddy Bridgewater continuing to make steps, if the offensive line is healthy, a pretty stacked offensive line, if Matt Khalil can can bounce back and be healthy after last year if they move Fusco to the left side and they have TJ Clemmings to the right side, that right guard spot. Sullivan, we love Sullivan. Adrian Peterson behind Ted Bridgewater. Plus this defense. I mean, this defense just continues to get better. All those new draft picks. The defense was great yesterday or last year, of course, with Mike Zimmer and George Edwards. It's just going to be a fun team. Less than 100 days away till the NFL regular season. Hate to wish summer away, but she's coming.
It's on its way. And when you get through June, you're talking training camp. You know, you're starting to talk training camp. Mid-July, you're going to be playing that Hall of Fame game.
Is that mid-July? I thought it was early August. I think it's August 9th, isn't it?
No, that's the first game out of the shoot. And they bring the teams that play for that game. I've had to do it a couple times where they bring you in earlier because you're part of the first game, and they'll kick that bad boy off pretty. It'll be in July, I'm sure. If not, that's normally the last part of July, somewhere in there. Regardless, it's just around the corner.
Sunday, August 9th.
August the 9th. Yeah. I think I played it in July. I really have. I had to come to camp actually to play one of those July 7th.
Wow.
July 7th.
Holy crap.
I had to report to camp, St. Louis.
Well, that kind of makes sense to be there a month early. I mean, how long would the Vikings be in camp down in Mankato before they play
long.
This?
I mean, now it's Club Med.
I want to say it's like July 25th, maybe they report?
Last part of July. And they're only down in Mankato before they break camp for like the best part of 3 weeks, right? 2.5, 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Before they break camp for good.
Yeah, before they come up here to the cities.
Wow.
I think so.
Crazy.
And we were down there on the average of 5 or 6.
And doing 2-a-days, 3-a-days sometimes, just breaking your ass.
Pads.
Question 2 and 4.5 questions. According to Kurt Helene, whatever, he works for NBA and NBC. The latest Timberwolves rumor is that the team may take guard D'Angelo Russell of Ohio State with the first overall selection and then trade Ricky Rubio. All of this has to be a smokescreen. Has to be. I mean, I don't know if you saw, but I saw over the weekend Carl Anthony Towns, who was on Bleacher Report,
okay,
hitting three-pointers like mad. He was shooting all over the court. This guy's 6'11 and a half, 250 pounds.
Get touch.
Can play touch. Can play defense like a madman. Has a beautiful form, has a beautiful shot. Hitting three-pointers everywhere, all over the half-court thing there. So, seriously, how will you feel if that happens? I asked you last week, how will you feel if Jahlil Okafor is the number one overall draft pick? And I didn't get necessarily that big of a response. But if the Minnesota Timberwolves draft D'Angelo Russell with the first overall pick and then end up trading Ricky Rubio for who knows what, it better be a big or it better be somebody that can play defense down low. Because you're not solving the problem.
Here's what happens if they do that. They deserve everything that they get after that. If it's bad, it's on them. I mean, that would be the biggest screw up to not take one of these two guys. If you're going to do anything, take one of the two big guys. We'll live with it. If you want to do it right, you take Towns and be done with it. Take one of the two guys, the bigs. You do the other one, you deserve to be the Timberwolves that we've always been since 1989, if you pull a stunt like that, because that'd be another stunt. Mm. That would be another typical Timberwolf stunt that just pisses everybody off, and no one goes to the ball game, and who cares if you get rid of Rubio and bring this guy in? It doesn't matter. You need to have one of those two big men are really, truly talented players. And one more so than the other. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. But if they take the point guard, good luck. Because we're going to be right back to where we were.
And he's not even necessarily just a point guard. He's one of those combo guards. He's one of those tweeners that I absolutely hate, sure. Randy Foy.
Yeah.
One of those guys that the Timberwolves love to take where he's not big enough to really necessarily be a shooting guard. He's not necessarily
a
point guard.
He's a hybrid guard.
I hate it.
He's going to run the show and he's going to shoot it.
I hate it so much.
Yeah. We've never had a big guy. We need a really talented big guy.
Yes.
And just get him in here. We got one of two. You finally are the first pick overall in the draft. You add that kind of player with Andrew Wiggins and some of the other pieces that we've got around here that are pretty good. I think you've got the nucleus of a team that can absolutely make a run into the playoffs and do some damage.
I'm literally going to vomit everywhere. If the Minnesota Timberwolves screw this thing up. But it's been in their long-tenured history of screwing things up over and over again.
That's what I'm saying. If they want to do that, then go ahead and just be the Timberwolves forever. I give up.
I thought Flip Saunders was turning things around here, and then it kind of made me take a step back when he said, you know, I'm not really big into shooting three-pointers. What do you mean you're not big into shooting three-pointers? That's how you get in. You look at the playoffs, and I want to say it was like first, third, fifth, and seventh in the entire NBA. They had the best three-point percentage shooting teams. You win by defense, hitting your free throws, and then putting the nail in the coffin, which is a three-point, which you can do with a three-point shooting team. Granted, I don't necessarily want to live or die by the three-point shooting team.
If you have a legit shooter, if you have a guy that can knock him down, you have to have someone that can knock it down, and you know, that Reggie Miller or that Steph Curry, or I mean, that's what
Kevin
you're looking
Martin.
For. Kevin Martin can knock
Kevin
him
Martin
down, too.
Kevin Martin can knock him down.
Towns can knock him down.
Towns can knock him down. Yeah, I just get so fired up sometimes. Question three, 4.5 questions. The Wild began contract negotiations with goalie Devin Dooby-Dooby-Doo.
The Doober.
This week, Chuck Fletcher in Buffalo at the NHL Scouting Combine. The team doesn't have a ton of cap room to play with, but it's an almost certainty that the Wild have to re-sign him. With his lights out, play down the stretch, but shaky in the playoffs, how big is a risk? Big of a risk is it signing the Dubinator?
I think it's always a risk. I think it's always a risk because you don't know about injury. You don't know about a lot of things, intangibles. But he came in here and played his ass off. I mean, this team, a lot of people were asking last week when they started negotiating with him, did he just kind of have one nice run? Did he have just this unbelievable run where he was in front of a good, you know, it's been said that he had a good team in front of him, so it made him finally shine as a goalie. Well, you know, that good team was in front of Kemper, too. What happened? The same team in front of Kemper, right?
And Backstrom.
What happened there? The good team is out in front of those guys. Dubinator came in, got in front of the net, and the rest of the team took off and went and played hockey. They didn't have to play a babysitter anymore with the goaltender. He made this team down the stretch.
In the playoffs?
He got his ass kicked by the Chicago Blackhawks, just like everybody's getting
their
ass.
And the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
Was it game four? I think it was game four.
He took some lumps, but he
got crushed in game four.
He took some lumps, but he stuck it out. He's tough.
You're right.
Into the damn Blackhawks, and they're just whooping ass. That's all there is to it. Kane, Taves, keep going. They just are outrageous.
God, I hate the Blackhawks so much.
That's what dudes ran into.
God!
It's hard to stay in front of those guys.
And I feel like it wasn't necessarily all Dubinator's fault because the defense, I mean, the team just wasn't skating well. There's a reason they got swept. The whole team was a disaster. Yeah.
They thought, oh, the Dubinator got run down. He played him too hard down the stretch, never gave him enough rest. No. He was actually up to the task. And then came, oh, Patrick Kane. The rest is history.
Too much.
Enough said.
Question four and 4.5 questions. The Twins have been on a tear. They've now lost two in a row, though. They lost 1-0 yesterday. They lost, I believe, 6-3 already today in a doubleheader. It's not unusual for a team, especially for the Twins, to have gone from worst to first. They've done it several times. This team also generally has success the first year of a brand new manager. We've talked several times about the fact that I think the Twins are really good despite being terrible. The team's in good spot. They have certain players in the minors pushing the big leaguers. For example, Tommy Malone, who was recalled after pitching lights out in AAA. He's going to start, I believe it's tomorrow, against the Boston Red Sox.
Now, Trevor doubleheader Plouffe, tomorrow, right?
No, doubleheader today.
Today, that's right, today.
Trevor Plouffe becoming a team leader before they thought they would just boot him out the door or trade him as soon as Miguel Sano came up. And now it's like, Trevor Plouffe's one of the team leaders. We've got to find him whatever we can do. He's batting. He's playing decent defense. And for chemistry and leadership-wise in the clubhouse,
he's one of those guys.
You got to keep him. There are a lot of what-ifs, but that's a good problem to have all these players now, whereas the Twins before were trying to find somebody to
plug
in. Who's
it going
to
be? Well, what can we do? Can we just buy in here?
Can we just plug somebody in here to kind of stop the bleeding? And now it's like, oh, my God, there are so many players here and with this great minor league system coming up here.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find a way somewhere to put these guys.
Look, it's a good problem to have, like you said. Instead of having to go hire a gun like Torrey Hunter, we need some leadership in here. Now, that's worked out well, too. But big Jim Thome and some of the guys they've had come in here to sort of be that relief. We got some of it built from within. Some guys that have finally picked it up, found their own confidence, won a spot in the lineup. Trevor Plouffe is one of them. He's my guy, by the way.
What do you mean he's your guy?
Well, you got all kinds of guys on the team. My guys.
What do you mean I have all kinds of guys on the team?
You got most of the guys are your
what
guys.
What do you mean most of the guys are my guys?
Name
my guys on the team.
You've got Azario.
No, I don't have Azario. Azario? Who's Azario?
You have,
Who's Azario?
Escargot.
I don't have anybody. I hate snails.
You got a bunch of them.
My guy's on the team. My guy on the team is Kenny Vargas. He's not even on the team right now. My other guy is Eddie Rosario.
Escargot.
I like
you got a bunch
guys.
Of them. Pardon me?
Excuse me?
I got one guy.
Who's your guy?
Plouffe.
Trevor Plouffe.
Plouffe is my guy.
I like a lot of those guys. How can you not like a lot of the guys that when you're rooting for them, you're watching games every single night. There becomes this like affinity.
You like Danny Santana as well, don't you?
I do like Danny Santana. Absolutely.
He's one of your guys, right?
He's one of my guys.
See? I like Torrey Hunter. He's one of my guys.
I thought you just said you had one guy.
I do. I only have one guy, but Torrey.
I like Torrey Hunter too.
Torrey's good. So I like, he's kind of one of my guys.
Is Paul Molitor one of your guys?
He is, but he's not a player, so he can be my guy. He's the manager.
Okay.
So he's my guy.
Joe Mauer?
No.
Phil Hughes?
No.
Irvin Santana?
Now that would be good, see, because he's juiced up.
And you're the Aaron Hicks of radio, so Lord knows he's one of your guys.
Almost one of my guys, too, Aaron Hicks. I know who was really one of my guys. Joseph Hicks, Jr., is one of my guys.
He's a great guy.
And you know what? I think that helped me quite a bit when he called that day.
What do you mean it helped you quite a bit?
Guy, because he cleared some crap up.
Like what?
He cleared crap up.
What kind of crap did he clear up?
You know what? He was just telling people, look, little brother's been through some tough times, and he's always found a way. And he's going to pick up a bat this time, he said. I always say that. He's going to pick up a ball bat. But actually, Joseph Hicks said that he's going to pick up a bat this time. That's the deal. That's his priority, is to pick up a bat and do some damage. And I'll be darned.
Are you freaking out that the Twins have lost two games in a row now?
Yes.
1-0 yesterday. Wasn't that bad? 1-0's not bad. That means your pitching did well.
On the road, yeah.
We always talk about the fact that our offense is boom or bust, but today 6-3, Phil Hughes getting rocked again.
What's wrong with him?
Phil Hughes, it's too quick to give him all that money. What were the Twins thinking?
After the kind of year he had.
What were they thinking?
How would you not think that way?
Half question.
Yep.
Jim Rich.
Loser. Jim Rich, next.
We covered all on the Bob Sansevier Show. Tune in every weekday, afternoon at 2 on your Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
St. Paul Saints baseball in downtown St. Paul. Come join Radioactive Sports at the biggest party in Lower Town.
We'll be broadcasting live from the front gate of CHS Field. Monday night, the Saints take on the Joplin Blasters. And we'll be there from 4 to 7 talking Saints and more.
And we'll have tickets to give away, too. Saints baseball in a brand spanking new ballpark. And we're broadcasting live before the game.
Only on Minnesota Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Are you high?
I think he knows what we have here, and we were a good fit for him, and I think he was obviously a good fit for us. And usually these things take care of themselves, but ultimately he'll have the final say, and we'll do what we can within the parameters of the salary cap to keep him here.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, Jim Rich is one of those guys that when you call upon him for information, a lot of the time he'll speak out of a wind tunnel or through a vacuum hose from his closet.
I think he's just one of those phone breathers. Hi, I'm Jim Rich.
Luke, I'm your father.
Either that or he's got just a hellacious CPAP machine, or maybe he's on a ventilator. Yeah. I'm not really sure what's going on, but either way, I'm glad he's alive because I can hear him breathing.
How do you know it's me breathing?
Either that or you're a cat in heat, one or the other. I'm not really sure.
Regardless, you need to put the smokes down. You got some wheezing going. Huh?
What's that?
It sounds to me like you're a smoker today. I don't know why. You sound like a little raspy.
I am raspy. Yes, just that.
My God, is that Randy Meyer talking in the back? Are you on the radio, or are you doing a TV show at the same time? What's going on?
Busy here. What is your question?
Oh, my God. My first day back in Jim Rich is already being a Mike Berardino.
It's a different time. It's catching us off guard here.
That's we're doing the same exact thing over here. We just played a little thing about Chuck Fletcher talking about Devin Dubnyk. And, of course, Chuck Fletcher in Buffalo for the NHL Scouting Combine. You think this deal gets done this week? Because at the end of June, he's an unrestricted free agent. He can start talking to other teams. You think it should be a no-brainer? Both sides want it to happen.
Well, both sides want it to happen. I think there's no doubt about that. But Dubnyk wants it to happen at his price. You know, he's been around. He's 28 years old, going to be 29, and been around the league. He was making good money at Edmonton until he got shipped out, so he had to go rebuild his career. This year, played for $800,000, and the Wild certainly got their money's worth, $400,000 for that run through the playoffs, but now they're going to have to pay the piper. And the question is, does the Wild want to put up with a long-term deal, spread the money out, go 4 years, or do they want to do something shorter, a two-year, three-year deal, and then that'll hit them more in the salary cap? And as you heard Fletcher say in that fight, that, you know, they're going to be up against the cap because they have to figure out what they're doing with Dubnyk, and they have to figure out what they're going to do with Granlund. He also is a guy that's looking to get paid.
And what kind of price tag would there be on Granlund?
It's kind of interesting because, you know, he's playing on the top line, but does he produce like a top line center? You know, his people are going to say, well, look, you're putting him on your top line with Parisi and Pominville, and, you know, he's the number one center on your power play. You know, what are you guys going to do about this? Or does he look for a bridge deal, saying he signs another 2 year deal for around $3.5-4 million a season, and then goes for the big payday and tries to improve himself? Because right now his numbers aren't going to get him a huge payday. If he's looking for $5-6 million a season, the Wild are going to say, no thanks, and we'll go to arbitration with you. Because he's restricted. He can't go anywhere unless someone else throws money at the Wild and then gives the Wild a draft pick. So they don't have to worry about him walking away. They just have to figure out a way to make him happy, and they get a little more time to decide whether he's worth the big money. Maybe the Wild want to tie him up long-term, and Granlund's people are saying no. You know, maybe they want to give him one of those long-term deals like they gave Coyle, like they gave Scandella, that are friendly towards the cap, give that player security, but not a boatload of money.
Well, Jim Rich from Fox 9. Nicholas Backstrom, he's kind of gone by the wayside. Most people think that it's a guarantee that he's going to be bought out. There were rumors as the season was ending or shortly after the season ended that they're going to try and trade him if there's a possible taker. What's going on with Nicholas Backstrom, and does he need to be moved before they can do whatever they want to do with the Dubinator?
No, Dubinator has to get done first to make sure you have him. And the reason they'll hang on to Backstrom is maybe they can throw that contract into a trade they make with someone else at the draft. That's where Fletcher has made the most moves during his tenure as general manager. He likes to see what's on the board right when he makes a move, so he is assured of getting the player that they hope to get with that pick. So he'll look at that, and he may try to stick someone with the rest of Backstrom's deal so he doesn't have to buy him out. So then he doesn't have that dead money counting against his salary cap, and so he doesn't have to cut a check to Backstrom. So ideally, he'd look to package him with some other deal to move him, and we'll see if he can get that done. It's highly unlikely, but I'm sure he's going to wait to see if that can be pulled off.
Jim, what do you have with the Stanley Cup? Who's gonna take it all? It's an intriguing matchup with Tampa Bay and Chicago. But Chicago, knowing it and being there for so many times now in the last 6 or 8 years, who do you see in this one?
I think you have to give the advantage to the Blackhawks, even though they don't have home ice. They didn't have it against Anaheim. They were able to come back, win it in seven against the Ducks. And I think they can do this again. I think this team just has that mentality. We talked about it when they faced the Wild, how to win. how to become a champion, how to deal with, you know, the ramped up pressure, the different style of play that you run into in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They have so many players that have been down this road. They're looking for their third cup in 6 years. These guys know what it takes to win in these pressure situations. And, you know, they're happy playing a 1-1 game, down a goal. They don't change. They don't get rattled. And that's why they are where they are. The Lightning probably have more talent, but they've faced teams with more talent and beat them. So I think you have to lean towards the Blackhawks in this series. If they get a split in Tampa, I think they'll be right where they want to be, heading home. At a game apiece.
Those dang dirty Blackhawks, you can never trust them. I mean, you just have no idea. When you're thinking about it and you're leading up, obviously when the Minnesota Wild ran kind of into the Blackhawk shenanigans there, swept out of the playoffs, I lost my NHL passion for the rest of the season, and I started watching Twins baseball and some other things, and I, in fact, took a miniature vacation from just watching sports altogether because I was so heartbroken. But I had no idea. I thought it was going to be the Anaheim Ducks against the New York Rangers. And so to have the two opposite teams is just kind of shocking. Both kind of underdogs, but it's hard to say the Blackhawks are ever underdogs.
Well, that's what I mean. When you look at them on paper, you're going, okay, they got Taves, they got Kane, you know, that's great. Crawford's okay. Duncan Keith is a superstar. But you look at the rest of the supporting cast, and, you know, man, they're not that good. You know, well, that's what we were talking about going into the series with the Wild. Oh, we have more depth. We have more speed. We have better goaltending. When it's all said and done, that's not the case. That was the same thing with Anaheim. Oh, they got Getzlaf. They got Perry. They've got all the guys there now. They got Frederik Andersen, who's been standing on his head in the nets. They got Clayton Stoner. They've got Ryan Kessler, the missing key for their run to a cup. But who's sitting at home playing with their four iron right now? It's the Anaheim Ducks.
Playing with their four iron. I like that. How daunting is it now looking at the Blackhawks right now, if you're a Minnesota Wild GM or coach or player, and saying, we thought we were neck and neck with them, thought we could push past them, and they sweep you in four, and they go on to the finals. How far do we have to go? What's the strategy now? What do you do to try and catch them, to do anything to get past the Chicago Blackhawks now?
Well, they can't go out and sign a big free agent. We see where the money is. And by the time they figure out with Dubnyk and Granlund, that'll pretty much eat up the cash. The only way that Chuck Fletcher can really fix this, if he feels these youngsters aren't going to grow and develop, is he's going to have to make a trade. He's going to have to deal with somebody and try to get the right mix. Or do you feel that your youngsters will learn, they take another step, Charlie Coyle becomes more of a man-child, starts throwing people around, Granlund takes the next step, Niederreiter continues to go. He scored 20-some goals this year. His next year, he a 30-goal scorer. Do those young defensemen, Dumba, step up? Does Scandella really blossom like the Wild have given him the money? And does Dubnyk turn into an all-star? I mean, so you can let the stew simmer, and maybe it wasn't ready. We took a sip of it too early this year, and it hadn't really come to fruition yet. And we have the pieces if we just let it cook for another year, or do you have to rip it up and change things? That's what we have to, well, that's what Chuck Fletcher has to decide. We can sit here and say, well, X, Y, and Z has to go, but it may be more that Fletcher says, I think I'm going to take another kick in the can with the group I got.
I can completely agree. Jim Rich from Fox 9, I don't think we need to start over. The Minnesota Wild need to start over, but there's got to be something there to kind of get us over that hump. I mean, it's been 3 years in a row now. The Chicago Blackhawks have knocked us around silly, and it seemed like the worst was this year.
And I just really think that what you just now said, Jim, is that Dumba with one more year and Zucker and some of those guys need one more nice go-around. I mean, maybe they just have not arrived quite yet. They've shown some great signs that they're going to be great players someday, but that someday is, it wasn't last season, but it's very close, I think.
Yeah, I think you're going to see minor tinkering. I don't think he wants to mess with that core. They're very young. You know, Suter and Parisi are your oldest guys on this club right now. The rest are young stars coming up. I mean, they could maybe add some more toughness. You could maybe, you know, get another, if you can find a goal-scoring winger and you can give up some pieces that, you know, you feel are expendable, maybe another draft pick you give away. I don't know, but I kind of like this core. I think that Coyle is really going to be a guy who's going to take the next step. Nino's probably going to score what he did this year. Granlin can be better. He's got to become more of a scorer and not just a facilitator. Dumba, I think, is going to really take a huge step next year. I think we saw that in the playoffs. I think he's going to be on the top power play next year. I think he's going to have 15 goals. I think he's going to be that kind of guy, and he's going to have a lot of assists. So I think that's a good piece. Brodin is still growing, still learning the ropes. So I tend to towards kind of just let this sit and say, hey, let that sour taste in your mouth of being swept four games by Chicago drive you this year. You know, that empty feeling in your stomach, it's got to upset you all summer long, and it's got to make you work out harder this offseason to try to come back and finish the Hawks.
Amen, brother. Jim Rich from Fox 9. Let's shift just a little bit to the Adrian Peterson deal before we have to let you go. I was gone for a couple of days, and I've been asking Mike, and it's been so interesting to kind of watch how people's emotions and kind of views have changed a little bit. I think people around Minnesota are sick of talking about Adrian Peterson, and obviously there's a transition now, not necessarily talking about Adrian Peterson, what's he going to do, the lawsuit, commissioner's exempt list, his Twitter rants, blah, 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 blah. What are your thoughts about Adrian Peterson coming back to Winter Park and his press conference yesterday? Change your mind in any way?
I was impressed with what he laid out there yesterday. And if he follows through on this and he becomes the good soldier that he's been for his first 8 years with the Vikings, and, you know, he doesn't decide, well, you're not redoing my contract. I came in. You said you talked to me. We're not getting a deal done. Now I am holding out. You know, that's all in the future, and that could become real for this team, because, you know, deep down he's still not happy about not having guaranteed money. Now, maybe Zimmer, who said in that press conference yesterday, I fight for my players, mm-hmm. said, hey, let me take a swing at this for you. You come in here, you do what I say, you shut your mouth, you play football, and let me talk to Rick, let me talk to the Wills and say, look, this kid shouldn't be out there without guaranteed money. We've got to do something for him. Maybe that's the conversation that was had. I'm not sure. I still think there's another shoe to drop in this event. I don't think we're done with this 100%. I don't know what it is, but I just feel that there's more to come with this story, and I think it'll be more financial than feeling uncomfortable or any problems with his children.
I do too. I think there's something left in this piece that is money. I think you're right. Get to camp, show up for OTAs, say hi to to your new teammates, the old guys that you've played with before in the past, the coaching staff, and we'll continue to talk with your guy. And,